Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy, and Lisa. Three friends, one table, and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
Good morning. Welcome to Life and Lattes. It is so good to be with you again this week, and it's just wonderful walking around town, going to shul, going to new communities, and people telling us how much they enjoy our show. I actually got recognized the other day in Bagel Zone just from the sound of my voice, so that was really fun. So if you do enjoy the show, please WhatsApp us, 061-895-1019. Let us know. And espresso yourself. What is on your mind today? What do you want us to talk about briefly, although we already have a packed program prepared. Try to say that five times fast. Packed program prepared. And I'm joined, as always, with my beautiful girls, Andy in Renana, Lisa in Renana, both joining Morning. Us from Israel. Oh, hello, girls. So stunning to be with you. How's it going? How's everything?
Oh, boiling, schmoiling.
I don't know how you survive. Boring. I don't know how you survive. Do you know what happened to me? I've always been saying if Hashem wants me to live in Israel, he's got to do something about the weather. But I didn't specify the fine print. I didn't mean make Joburg hot as hell in summer. That's not what I meant. I meant cool down Israel. But, you know, you've got to actually specify when you pray. You've got to actually really spell it out. Otherwise, you don't know what you're getting.
I got in the car at 10 to 6 and the clock, like, you know, next to the clock, it shows the temperature and it said 27. I was like, what? And I remembered it is July.
In the morning, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that is hot. And I actually once worked with a guy. He was from a place in the Karoo called Hotazel. That's actually the name of his town. It means hot as hell. And yeah. And that's where he was from. So yeah, but Joburg does get really, really hot now these days in summer. So I don't know where Hashem wants me to be. But either way, the weather's not working out very well for me and my hot flushes. Girls, so let me tell everyone who's listening what we are talking about today. So I know that sometimes we do our little two-part shows, and I think that we're going to have to extend last week's show a little bit into this week's show. Last week we spoke about the inner child. We spoke about the childish sides of us and the wounded parts of us and all the sad, lonely, unmet needs part of us. But there's another part of the inner child, the childlike qualities of wonder and awe and play and creativity. And we have to unpack those beautiful parts that also exist. So that is going to be coming up in this week's show in Three Cups Deep. And we'll be back with you after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. The studio is quite full today, I must say. I've been surrounded with the cameras and sound technicians and Craig as always. It's really fun. It feels like a party at Chai FM. So we are talking today. We're going to start off our show about those childlike qualities, and then we are going to move into the full topic of creativity. But I thought we would start off, as usual, with espresso yourself and just find out what's happening with girls and what's happening with you. What do you want to share with us today? What's on your mind? Andy, espresso yourself.
So today is like officially the first day of summer. And
what does that mean? End of school?
Well, school's out.
Okay.
School's out. So the high schools ended on the 20th of June. The primary schools ended yesterday. So July 1st is like officially summer. So my youngest, Shani, is off to camp, to sleepaway camp tonight for 3 weeks. So that's been just, you know, getting all that kind of stuff ready. And it's her last year as a camper. Next year she becomes a counselor if she wants.
That is so cute. My 12-year-old daughter is already a counselor. So,
yeah,
but that's at Gan Yisrael. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
It's crazy. And it's, yeah, and you know, it's not lost on me how, I don't know, just after everything these kids have gone through, that camp is even happening.
Yes.
That it's open, that they can travel and hike and do Tiolim and tour the country. Like, none of that is just a given. So I'm really true. Excited.
So,
for her.
So many and, times. Yeah. So many times my sister's told me, you know, that her kids were meant to be going on this trip and meant to be doing the yum yum and meant to be. And then there's rockets or meant to be writing finals and then finals are cancelled. It's you're meant right. To, it's just not a given. And these moments are become so much more precious and such a gift when they actually do happen.
When they happen. Yeah. And we can't just assume or take them for granted because it really is precious and sacred and quite fragile. So,
It's true for everyone, but I feel like Israelis are way more attuned to that truth. You know, it is true for everyone, but we don't realize it. And when we do realize it, it adds so much gratitude to the experience.
Yeah.
Lise, are you surrounded by children today?
She's surrounded by me.
I literally did that mom of 2 months of summer thing where I went, all right, guys, I'm off to work. Good luck. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to go well for 8 weeks.
Oh, and my goodness. 10.
So, but who's counting?
So I did, you know, I realized with South Africans, like a day off is a common thing because you have Sundays. But in Israel, we don't have Sundays. And so I took this week my very first Sunday in I don't know how many years.
Oh, what a joy.
I took 3 of my teenage kids who were out of school and we just went to the beach. And I was like, oh, this is how the whole world lives. They just go to the beach for a few hours. And what did catch up with me a little was this idea that obviously then brought like waves and waves of mom guilt, which is like how much kids just appreciate alone time with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like swimming in the sea with my 19-year-old son who I thought would prefer to be anywhere other than with his mom. And it was like so nice. I was like, are you actually enjoying this?
Wow. Like,
yes, mom, I'm enjoying it. But I think that was also my moment of like, I think the time moves so fast and we sometimes forget that like one-on-one or just like time off time with kids is like money in the bank.
Absolutely.
And then the mom guilt came that I sort of started to think, well, I have no idea why I don't do this more often. And I kind of wish that I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've definitely got to take more Sundays, Lise. You've got to see how the other half lives. Well, in South Africa, it's not just Sunday that's our day off. It's also about 100 public holidays a year. And if that's not enough.
It amazes me. Yeah. Always be a public holiday. For
always.
You guys.
And if that wasn't enough, yesterday was just a shutdown because they were expecting protests and violence and marching. And I don't even know if any of that happened. But everyone was like, no, we're not coming to work because of the march. So that was another day off. There was no camp. The kids were at home. And but you know what? These moments are so, so very precious. And I'm very aware of that. My son is actually making Aliyah in September. And everything feels like the last of this and the last of that, which can drive you mad. But our holidays next week actually will be the last family holiday for a while. And it you can get sad about it or you can, which I learned on this show, you can just really just feel that gratitude for that preciousness and that fragility.
Ollie, in positive recharge this morning, I put in such a relevant message to what you just said about an ancient proverb that says, if you choose not to find joy in the snow, you will have less joy, but the same amount of snow.
Oh, that is brilliant. I love that. That is so profound. I haven't even checked into the daily positive recharge today. But please do follow that. And if you are listening, you need to go to our Facebook page, Life in Lattes. We also have an Instagram, what is it called? A page? A handle?
I just would like all the listeners to please let it not be lost that this was 3 women in their mid to late 40s figuring out how to set up new pages on Facebook and Instagram. It was not a small feat. And I feel like someone needed to give us a round of applause.
Someone should. Someone definitely should. And I must say, I did feel very old next to our dear Abigail Feldman, who helped us do everything, explaining it to us like we were a 5-year-old. No, explaining it to us like we were 90 years old, which is exactly how old we felt. no, in the session?
No, explaining to us like we were beginners and there's nothing
wrong
with that.
Wow. Andy with her coaching reframe, explaining to us like we were beginners, which we were. I love that. So do WhatsApp us and join our pages, and you can email, and you can just be in on all the action and be connected to us, and we would love to hear from you. So are we ready for a single shot? Anybody got a single shot? Lisa's got – no, is Lisa pointing to Andy? Andy has always got a single shot, but if you don't
– I'm a fun single shot. Okay. I actually did a very cool team training this week. And it was so interesting because I got a debrief from the woman who had originally recruited me to work with this team to explain to me the makeup of the team and the personalities. And she was like, they're really serious professionals and they're not so into opening up and sharing and being vulnerable. And, you know, just keep that in mind when you're doing the session and you're doing the interactive, you know, activities. And then we were exploring different portraits and communication styles. And, you know, she gave me this whole debrief and understanding of the team. And when I got to the workshop and I met the team, I found the exact opposite to happen. Everybody was so engaged, so enthusiastic, willing to open up, willing to share. And it was really insightful and just interesting to see the dynamics and also to kind of think how we profile things in our heads and we have certain labels or, you know, descriptions of how things are going to look or how things are going to be. Mm. And sometimes we have to hold those a little bit more lightly because when we actually arrive in the moment,
it could be very different. I love that.
Also, I just think, you know, sometimes, especially professionally, when you think you're coming up against corporates or you think you're coming, you know, interacting with a CEO or with a this or with a that, our natural thing is to forget their humanness.
Yeah.
Except the best part about people is at their core is they're just people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone is vulnerable and everyone carries shame. And the moment you can touch on that and they go, oh, you too. and I think then people are so willing to unravel if you can hold space for that.
Yeah.
And when we put them on a pedestal as people who can't go there, then we don't ever really give them permission to go there, you know?
Yeah. Human to human.
Human to, you know, human, human to first.
The business, you know, those B2B and B2C, but now they say it's all H to H. It's all human to human.
Oh, do I love that? It's all human to human. Let's take a break.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. And I feel like the show is flying by and we have not even started to get three cups deep. So let us do that right this minute. We are getting three cups deep into creativity, but we're starting off with, is creativity a childlike quality? And what other childlike qualities are there? Andy, you wanted to talk a little bit more about wonder because we barely scratched the surface of the 2-minute raisin last week. And mindfulness and noticing and being in the moment. And I know that you've actually met Jon Kabat-Zinn, who, tell us about him and tell us about the childlike quality of wonder and awe.
So Jon Kabat-Zinn is actually the founder of MBSR, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction. And it's actually a technique where you learn to be present in the moment without judgment. Now, what that actually means is you are in your life, present and aware in real time. So you are where your feet are. He's got a very famous saying of be where your feet are, which we can unpack in three cups deep. But basically, when you are in the moment, you are just in the moment without the judgment, without the story, without the narrative. So if you take just a trivial example of it's raining, the event or the moment is it is raining. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
the judgment, the narrative, the story is, I love the rain, I hate the rain, my plans are ruined, this is so nice. The rains, you know, sabotaged my beach day or whatever the case may be. That's the narrative. That's the story.
Mm.
And the ability to separate being in the moment or an event from a story is an absolute superpower, because our stories are what keep us stuck. Our stories are what get in the way. And children are able to be in the moment. They're able to meet the moment with fascination and curiosity. So I'm in my life and I don't have to judge the moment, analyze the moment, get cognitive about the moment, get stuck in that whole story of the moment and analyze it. I can just stay curious and fascinated. And as we get older, the learner's mindset or the beginner's mind is almost taken over by the expert brain. So as adults, we feel like we have to know. And so we decide things and analyze things and label things and have that story as our description of whatever it is we are in or facing. And the beginner's mind or the learner's mind is quite happy not to know. It's quite happy to just experiment and explore and stare at a tree or stare at a leaf or eat a raisin for 2 minutes, just feeling and being present and really accessing all your senses without the whole story. And that's what we want to tap into as adults again, that learner's mind, that beginner's mind, that not knowing, that willing to explore and experiment and play and stay open-minded and curious. And that's where a lot of happiness lives, and that's where a lot of growth lives, and that's where a lot of gratitude lives. And drop a little bit of that expert brain that has to know and label and decide, because often we're wrong.
And predict and control. Mm.
Yeah.
Lisa, what goes wrong? Why can't we stay in that moment forever? Why can't we? I mean, the stories must have a function, otherwise we wouldn't. But they take over, and then you don't see what is. It's raining. It just is, you know? We lose that ability to just be and accept and radical acceptance and just be in that moment. What happens? What goes wrong?
And I think many things go wrong or change, you know, so we could call it just that we age, but we have more stories. But I think generally, if I look at my story, our stories are always protective. You know, at core, we're always just vulnerable and we're always looking to protect ourselves. So that it's raining, it's going to be a bad day, means I've prepped myself, because rain comes with wet, or rain comes with cold, or rain comes with whatever. And I don't want to feel that suffering. And so my number one thing when I think I'm going to suffer, which is really insane that we do this, it's like, I will prep myself for the suffering. And then I can say, you see, I knew it. But that you see, I knew it is the very thing that makes it so painful, because real suffering, we can't actually prep for. And so I do think a lot of our stories are really just trying to keep us safe, which is really interesting, because they become the very things that sometimes bring us the most pain.
Yeah. And they become the things that stop us from all the childlike things you just mentioned, those very stories that are protecting us. Hayley's like, I'm not good at this, or I'm going to mess this up, or you know, other people are better at that than me.
Yeah,
or
let's talk about that. I'm not good at this, and this one's better than me. When do we start comparing and judging? You know, children will play, they'll draw, they're just in the moment, and they're not trying to hang it on the wall or show it or post it on Instagram. They're just having fun. They're not comparing each other, themselves to other people. And, you know, that's just the absolute magic of creativity, is being in the moment, not comparing yourself, not being outcomes based. So why do we do that?
I actually did a fascinating experiment. Sometimes I do this. I just use my kids as my fodder, right? So I went into my son's grade one class. Okay. So this was, you know, whatever, however many years ago. And I went into the grade one class and there were about 40 kids sitting there. And I said, okay, who thinks they are good at soccer? And all the kids put up their hand, boys and girls. And I went, who thinks they're good at dancing? And they all put their hand up. I said, who thinks they're good at math? Whole class, right? There wasn't one kid who didn't put their hand. Whatever I asked them, all the hands went up. In fact, so much so that when I came home that day with my son, Shai looked at me and he said, you know, Emma, some of the kids said they're good at soccer, but they're not really. I'm good at soccer. You know, they were so convinced of how amazing they were at everything. And then I went to a 10th grade class, which kids are now around 15, 16. And I said to them, okay, guys, who thinks they're good at dancing? And there were some girls in that class that could dance. No hands went up. Who thinks they're good at art? No hands. Who thinks they're good at whatever? And I even listed math. There was a kid in the class who was a proper known math genius, like, you know, one of those off the charts kids in all the special programs. And he wouldn't put his hand up until the other kids, whatever his name was, said, oh, come on, Cohen. And so, like, gradually he, like, you know, with difficulty put his hand up. And I had to say, like, what went wrong in the space of literally 10 years where kids go from thinking they're amazing at everything to, like, garbage at everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually asked this to the kids. Yeah. This was a program I was running for teenagers, and I asked it to them.
Yeah.
And they turned to me and they said, well, you know, we've also learned that we're not good at everything. I said, okay. And they said, you know, it's embarrassing to say. I said, okay. I said, but how did you learn that you're good at nothing? And I just got these blank stares.
Wow. And you know what's so interesting is that when you feel that you are not good at something, you don't do it. So all those things that they used to love and think they were good at, they stop doing it because they're not the best.
And then it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy. So now I don't touch it, so I don't master a skill.
But even if you don't master the skill, you don't have to master everything. But you can just enjoy things.
And what's really fascinating is when we take that away from kids.
Yeah.
In the adolescent years, the brain, without getting too technical, is doing this process called myelination, which means if you were look at a tree with leaves, for example, it's like the leaves falling off the tree. So any pathways in the brain that are not being used, the brain turns around and says, okay, well, I guess we don't need this. And it gets rid of it. So any skill, any talent that we haven't used, we essentially lose.
That's so sad.
Right? So exactly. So like if you haven't been practicing music and you had an inclination for music, it's not to say you can't learn it as an adult, but you have to learn it almost again if you weren't practicing it as a teenager.
Paula, don't you remember we were fluent in French?
I know, I was thinking the exact same thought.
Literally, Paula and I would read books in French.
We were fluent.
We were fluent. I won a national award. Do you remember that Alliance Française?
I very much remember that, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. National, like the whole of South Africa. That's I can barely say.
And I remember talking to adults saying, oh, I used to be fluent in French. And I thought, what a stupid saying is that? Used to be fluent. Yes. Like, what does that mean?
What is that?
Well, guess what?
Guess what?
You don't
but
use
you know,
it, you lose it.
But it reminds me of, I love what you said, that you don't have to be good at it. You can just enjoy it. It reminds me of that Kurt Vonnegut post where he said, when I was 15, I spent a month working on an archaeological dig. And I was talking to one of the archaeologists during the lunch break. And he asked those kinds of getting to know you questions to ask young people. Do you play sport? What's your favorite subject? And I told him, I don't play sports. I do theater. I'm in choir. I play the violin and the piano. And I used to take art. And he went, wow, that's amazing. And I said, oh, no, I'm not good at any of them. And he said something I will never forget, which absolutely blew my mind because no one had ever said anything like it to me before. I don't think being good at things is the point of doing them. I think you've got all these wonderful experiences with different skills, and that all teaches you things that makes you a very interesting person, no matter how well you do them. And that honestly changed my life because I went from a failure, someone who hadn't been talented enough at anything to excel, to someone who did things just because I enjoyed them.
Wow. We have got to take a moment there. Do things just because you enjoy them. And do you do things that just because you enjoy them? I mean, I love art. I love drawing. But I must say, like, when I do, like, draw or paint or whatever, there's definitely a part of me that's watching and judging and, you know, perfecting it. And I don't think that children have that. And that was so sad a while ago. I went out with my daughter and we went to this unbelievable thing. It's called Main Street Sundays, where they open the whole of Main Street in town. And it's so safe and just beautiful stands. One of the stands was just paper and crayons and paint. And you could just sit there and draw. Like that's what you were doing. And my husband sat down and he just like was busy drawing. And I came back half an hour later and Alia was still sitting there with a blank page. And I was like, why are you not drawing anything? No, it's not going to be good. And that absolutely broke me because she actually is a brilliant artist and she goes to art. And I immediately phoned up her art teacher. I said, I want Alia to do abstract. I want her to do art that doesn't have to be good, that she just enjoys doing because she's too scared. I mean, she's an artist. It's the most natural part of her. And she's only 12. And now she's sitting there with a blank page because it's not going to be good. Anyway, I sat down with her. I said, come, let's just mess around. And we did. And we had a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, we lose that ability to just enjoy and just to do it just for the sake of it, not for the outcome.
Well, I think our systems, though, are sometimes built to break us. Mm. You know, I remember when COVID came along and the whole thing was, you know, like to like get ahead of the curve or behind the curve, whatever the curve was. And I said, such a metaphor for life. Like we as parents are like rushing that our kids should always get ahead of the curve. You know, if your child is 7 and she hasn't started dancing already, you're like, oh my God, she's late. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's late. Like a 4-year-old is perfectly happy dancing in the living room. Like she doesn't need to be in dance school, you know, except we have this like rush that they've got to get somewhere. And then we're always results oriented. You know, you suddenly look at school and everything is marked and everything is graded and everything is compared. And then we're like, wow, why are my kids so scared to make a mistake?
Totally. You know?
And then PS, they've got all us parents who are role modeling that, right? Which failure feels like the end of the world as opposed to, you know, sitting around at tables and really discussing, hey, messing up is the best thing that we could possibly do because we'll learn and grow.
Yeah. I think also the system part is such a good point, Lise, what you just said. Like maybe our systems are actually wrong. Because, like, if you look at the research on excellence, there's an amazing guy worth following called Brad Stolberg. And he just did some research on the World Cup and sports teams. And he did an amazing piece on Norway. And he said, Norway consistently win the most medals, like, for example, at the Winter Olympics. But their population is relatively tiny. 5.5 million people is not a lot. And people say it's because Norway is just this winter wonderland. But he said that's not the case. After looking at the research, they also elite at triathlons and beach volleyball and cycling and now soccer. And he goes on to share that a very big part of their success is how they treat the youth when it comes to sports. And it's the opposite of what happens in many countries. And he said, for example, in America, youth sport is very competitive, even at very early ages. Leagues almost always keep a score. But in Norway, scorekeeping is not allowed until age 13. So the concept of
that
like winners and losers.
Fascinating. I love that.
Yeah. The whole concept in the system of winners and losers.
So they're playing to enjoy.
On a process, yes, and not an outcome. And what they've noticed is it keeps kids engaged longer because it minimizes that pressure but maximizes the fun and the learning. And therefore, in third grade, the goal is not necessarily to win a championship. The goal is to love sport and to keep playing.
Mm, I actually remember I once arrived to watch my son play cricket at Tor Academy. I think it was a grade one. And arrived a bit late and I said, what's the score? And they said, no, we don't keep score until like grade 3. I just loved that so much. I thought it was a Tor Academy thing, you know, just you know, for good midders, not to, just so everyone can participate and everyone can have fun. But it's the science backs it up. It's amazing. Yeah, there is something
really
wrong with the
amazing
system, particularly the school system. And yeah, and we as adults, we don't exactly role model doing things just for enjoyment, for the sake of it.
And because I think we have that idea that there's something healthy about competition.
Mm.
At a certain point, there is something, you know, competition, you know, in the workforce, wherever, it's okay to want to improve. And competition certainly drives that.
Mm.
But competition that comes at the expense of ego strength, or of confidence, for example, that we take ourselves so out of the now, that can become really breaking. It's really, it's definitely something worth exploring, you know, like how could we make things exciting?
And but, how can we make it more balanced, that it's not either or? It's not I'm only doing something because it's competitive or because I'm driven by winning. Mm. And I don't have to only do something just because it's fun. I can kind of find more of a gray, like polarity management, where it's not a problem to solve. It's just a polarity to manage. And it doesn't have to be only this or only that. But I can literally like dance more in like a gray zone where it can be both.
Or some things can be one and some things can be the other. Yeah, but I don't think we can talk about the inner child and about creativity and play and being in the moment without mentioning my guru, Julia Cameron, who I read her book, The Artist's Way, many years ago. I think I was 20. It was such a transformational book. And basically, it's a, I think it's a 12-week course. And it's all about getting...
Did you do the morning pages?
Yes, I did the morning pages.
Oh, you did them?
Yes.
Wow.
I did them. I've got books and books of morning pages, and which is like an amazing like diary. But one of the big things was to take yourself on an artist date, which is just to take yourself out, just to notice, to enjoy, just to slow things down, go to be curious, explore, and you know, to do that for yourself. I just thought that was so transformational. The morning pages were transformational. And the whole idea of the artist as being this natural inner child part of you, that everybody is creative. Because I think a lot of us think, oh, well, I'm not creative. You know, I can't draw. I can't play an instrument or whatever. That is not what creativity means. But we're going to unpack this more after the break.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Stay connected with everything Chai FM across all your favorite social media platforms. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at 101.9 Chai FM. From the latest news and community updates to competitions, behind-the-scenes content, and everything in between, there's always something happening on our pages. Hit follow, turn on your notifications, and never miss a moment with Chai FM. So welcome back to Life and Lattes, and really so enjoying this discussion. I hope you are too. And you are always welcome to join our table and to chime in and to pipe up. Do you ever play? Do you ever do something just because you enjoy it? Something artistic, something creative? And
the brain doctor, the brain health doctor, she really jumps on that idea you just spoke about. And she says that, you know, as adults, often we're tracking our steps and we're tracking our calories and we're tracking our sleep scores on our, you know, our Fitbits and our devices.
Optimizing everything.
She, yes. But she says, what about tracking when you last belly laughed or when you last sat in silence or when you last felt genuine wonder or when you last had a conversation that changed you? When you last felt fully present, when you last created something just for joy, when you last moved your body and loved it, and when you last watched the sky. And then she says, maybe we are all optimizing for the wrong things.
Oh, my goodness. That is brilliant. And what you said about laughter, actually, this is like a well-known fact, but I don't know the exact numbers, but children laugh exponentially more times per day than adults. Exponentially.
Like something 400. It's like crazy.
Yes, something like that. Yeah.
I've seen that statistic.
So sad. So sad. So how can we laugh more? How can we play more? How can we enjoy our lives and stop being so perfectionist, serious, competitive?
I think it's also a bit of that spotlight effect. Like you really think people are watching so much and you really think people are like, you know, the spotlight effect is you think people are staring at you. You've got a runner in your pantyhose and you think that's what everyone is talking about. They noticed it for 5 minutes when you walked onto the stage and then they are onto the next thing. But kids like don't care. Like that funny joke where the kid is drawing in class and the teacher comes up to him and says, what are you drawing? And he goes, I'm drawing God. And she says, but no one knows what God looks like. He goes, because I'm not finished. When I'm finished, I'll know.
That is the most beautiful story. Oh, that's gorgeous.
I actually heard something the other day. I don't know where I heard it, maybe on Instagram, so don't quote me. But it was this guy, he was saying, you know, if you just pause and you look at the universe, because the universe is huge, and you think about all the generations of people that have come before you, and at the exact moment in time that they had to meet in order to have your great-great-grandfather and your grandfather and did all the way to get to you. And you think about all the generations that are going to come after you. And like, then you think of this earth and you put it into the universe. Like, it's so big. It's so expansive. It's so huge.
Wow.
And you're going to be alive for like 100 years in that massive expanse of time and experience. Like, really? How serious do you want to take it?
Like, that is really all. That is the
present to, like, it's actually, it's just rain.
Beautiful. In coaching, we call that expanding your frame of reference. Sometimes you just need like a wider frame of reference, and then you're like, wow, does this really matter?
Zoom out.
If I draw outside the lines.
And I think we tend to do that for ourselves. I think we really pin that on our kids too. I mean, I certainly do. I sometimes find their current experience so big and I take it so seriously. I mean, I don't know about other mothers, but it can keep me up at night where I'm totally stressing about a thing they did do, a thing they didn't do, a thing I should have done. Mm. And like, how much is this going to impact them? How much therapy are they going to need in the future? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you just expand and say, like, in the scope of their life, is this actually going to matter? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know? Or at worst, it'll be an experience they learnt and grew from.
Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I love that. Jeanette has sent us a WhatsApp, such a stimulating program. Love. Well done, ladies. Thank you so much, Jeanette. I want to go back to Julia Cameron for a moment, because I do know that Andy has met Julia Cameron. Am I right? Andy's done. If nothing surprises me about Andy. Yes.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That's my creative spirit, you know, going to all these workshops and seminars and just sitting and being in awe.
Because you're comfortable with being a beginner and learning. And you can't learn unless you're comfortable with being a beginner and not knowing it all.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for saying that. But I think it's also like a fascinating. And I think, like, you know,
Andy, you're such a good person.
Sure.
I walk in, I go, this is going to be boring, and who's going to irritate me?
And I go, instead of asking, like, what can I achieve? I always like say to myself, what can I discover? So I find a lot of things fascinating.
That's amazing, particularly because you are an overachiever. So without trying.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, everyone thinks so.
I will actually share with you. I have a new morning meditation. And the truth is, it's transforming my life. Actually, this morning, I got up way too early to go to gym. It's not something I don't normally go this early. And then I came home and I was exhausted and frustrated, and I was annoyed about things. And I was like in such a bad mood. I was like, it's 8:30 a.m. Like, I'm now back showered getting ready. I'm like, how can I already be so angry and annoyed about the whole day? And then I sat down, and my new meditation is that I sit down and I have a few minutes with God, because I heard a beautiful line from Kathy Heller, who I absolutely love. She turned around, she said, you know, if we can't take 5 to 10 minutes in our day to just connect to God or connect to whatever you want to connect to spiritually, what on earth are we doing here?
Mm.
So that was like my new thing. I'm taking 5, 10 minutes, and I sat down and I end whatever I end up doing in my head, which is, you know, sometimes productive and sometimes not. But I end every time by saying, Hashem, just show me your magic. And I can't tell you what a difference it makes to your day when you're on the lookout for magic.
Because you always find what you're looking for.
Very true. And maybe that's become the most childlike thing about me, is that I am finally looking
for magic.
That is absolutely magnificent. I feel like that is something we should all try. I mean, I'm going to try that meditation myself, because my morning brochas are often a bit of a rush and a bit of a distraction. And imagine if I could just stop and connect before even doing them. And then to say, show me your magic.
Show me your magic.
I love that. And what you said, Anne's, that you always find what you're looking for. There's another saying, I can't remember it. It goes, where attention Goes energy flows. That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
You know, they did a very interesting science of happiness experiment on that. There's actually two. One is where they got people to watch a basketball game, and they told one group to count how many times let's just make up the colors because I can't remember exactly, but how many times the blue team passed before they scored, and then how many times the red team passed before they scored. And then afterwards, the researchers sat to debrief how many passes they counted. And he sat down with the observers of the game and said, "Who saw the gorilla?" And everybody was like, "What?" And he's like, "Who saw a gorilla walk across the court?"
No.
And they were like, "What are you talking about?" And then he replayed the video of the game. And this guy dressed in this big gorilla outfit walks across the court.
That is crazy.
But they weren't looking for that. One group were focused on counting the passes of the blue team, and one team were so focused watching the passes of the red team, and they weren't looking for that. There was another one with boxing gloves where there's a page of boxing gloves. They're all black. There's a handful of red ones. And they go, how many red gloves do you see? But when you turn it around, the actual question is, how many black boxing gloves did you see? But everyone was so busy focused on counting the red ones that they had no clue how many black ones were there.
Mm.
And it really is an invitation for us to, what are we looking for? What are we fascinated by? What are we curious by?
Are we looking for the magic? What are we focusing on?
Mm, mm. If we focus on the magic, you know, what is going to be our new barometers?
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. What a great conversation. I'm loving every moment. We are kind of running out of time, but I wanted to mention something so fascinating that I saw online. It was a TED Talk by a woman, and I'm pretty sure she's the author of a book called Stroke of Insight. She's a neuroscientist who had a stroke. So she actually knew exactly what was happening to her brain and was kind of like observing and documenting every moment of it. And then she wrote this book. But her TED Talk was about something so amazing. She said that when she had the stroke, she could not access her left side of her brain.
Right, right.
The right side. Okay. The right side is the logical side. No.
No, the right is the creative.
Right, so she couldn't access the left side. She could not access the left side, which was the logical, which was the compartmentalized. The everything is separate, everything is got its place, everything has got its number and its color code and its separateness. In fact, she was only in her right brain where everything was interconnected, everything was wondrous, almost spiritual. She found it such an incredible spiritual experience that, and she didn't have words. Her words were offline because that's the left side of her brain. So she actually, after she recovered, she said that she spends time every single week painting and trying to capture what the world looked like in that space of being in the right brain. Now, the right brain is the creative brain. And we do spend so much time in the stories, in the left side, in the logic. And we need to get out of it. We need to find ways to access the right side of the brain. Mm. I actually have a good way of remembering it now because it's right. It's the right side. It's everything that's right in the world. Yeah. So how do we do that? How do we do that? We just, you know, Julia Cameron's got these amazing techniques of, you know, of the artist, the date. She also talks about being very mindful of your inner critic and actually giving it a picture, making a caricature of it and a silly caricature. Like, you know, this critic that pipes up and says, "Oh, it's not so good. It's not so wonderful. And who do you think you are?" And all the nasty and naughty and horrible things that the inner critic says. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get rid of the inner critic, but we could laugh at it and we could see it for what it is instead of seeing it as the gospel truth. So these are some techniques. I really do suggest you get yourself a copy of The Artist's Way. It's just an incredible 12-week program you do yourself at home and just to discover your inner child, your creative self, because we are all creative. We are all creative. We are all in the image of God, and God is creative. God is the ultimate creator. So,
and we are partners in creation.
Absolutely. We are partners. Hashem wants us to build this world, to develop, to, you know, and
add our own magic.
To add our own. Oh, that's beautiful.
Maybe we can add to the morning meditation, show me your magic, and I'll try bring a drop of mine.
I love that. So I was actually driving the other day on 6th Avenue, and I couldn't believe it. There was this lady selling like knitted things, and she had knitted these flowers, sunflowers, poppies, tulips, with wool. And that is creativity. She's taken a 20 rand ball of wool, and she's knitted them into these incredible flowers and sold them for much more than the wool is worth, simply by being creative. That's human creativity, what the value that we can create, or the people that turn wire into cars, or turn bottle caps into bags, or turn, you know, it's just, I really do marvel at creativity, and we all have it. So don't for one second think that you are not creative, you can't draw to save your life. It's not about drawing. It's about being in the moment. It's about reclaiming the sense of wonder, reclaiming your creative soul that is yours and your right, your birthright, and detaching from the outcomes and the judgment. Liz is frowning her eyebrows.
I think even in addition to that, you know, life is challenging. It's hard to be human. You know, we all certainly are at points where you've experienced loss or suffering or pain, or all those human qualities that actually make life very, very challenging. And the only moment that you actually live in is the present one. And the present one, most of the time, is okay.
Mm.
And that creativity and that willingness to be in the now is actually where all the sparks of joy happen. So I don't think it's just about being in the wonder. It's about being able to say, if I can be in the now and enjoy the wonder, that's the joy of life. The other stuff is actually just hard. And why would we choose to live that way if we don't have to?
Why spend our precious time in the hard? Sure. I think we have to end. We've got such a beautiful song that Lisa's chosen. I hope you enjoy it, and we can't wait to see you again next week.